Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Last couple of weeks, we have touched on what does it take for us to be moved by God? What does it take? What must God do to move us? And then last week we talked about who owns us. Who owns us? What are the things in our life that own us? Things that we think we own that they kind of do the turnaround on us and it begins to own us rather than us owning it. And it wasn't just about things, but we put the spiritual dimension to it. Does God really own us? Is he calling the shots? Or do we treat it like some things are optional and we say no to him and that's acceptable? And so we talked about his ownership. In Acts chapter 3, something very significant happens right after the day of Pentecost. And Peter and John are going by the gate called Beautiful, and there has been a beggar who sits there who is recognized by much of the community. And this beggar, because he's lame, receives healing. And they pull him up to his feet and say, in the name of Jesus. Or what gold and silver we don't have, but we have, we give unto you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and be healed and walk. And this man who was lame is now walking. No longer a beggar. And so that is what's happening. And we pick up in Acts chapter 3, verse 11. It says, while the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or our own godliness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though Pilate had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you instead of Jesus. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and now was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Now, verse 19 is a key verse for this morning. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. We're going to talk a little bit about what that word refreshing means, but before we do, and before we can experience, according to what Luke wrote in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, as he's recording this, the physician Luke, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, he's writing this. And before we can really experience times of refreshing from the Lord, there's two things that need to take place. Did you pick them up in the verse? What's the first one? What's the second one? Repent and turn to God. Now, you've heard this explained before about what repentance is. And repentance is that we discover that the way that we are living isn't right. And we have walked in this way of life. And we come to a point where we recognize this way of life is not right. And we feel grievous over it. And we might feel sorry. We may have some regrets. We feel a conviction that hits us with this recognition that, you know, we are not living right. This is not the way that I choose to live, or that I want to live any longer. I'm choosing that this has been wrong. And so we have this change of mind. We have this realization. And hopefully it brings us to a place where we change our heart. Because how many of you know we can know information up here, but it doesn't mean that we're going to do it? Right? Have you ever done something wrong or not good for you and you knew that it wasn't good for you? Anybody ever do that? Yeah. I gorged myself on junk food yesterday. I knew it wasn't right. I mean, it's hello, yeah. You've been there. Yesterday, hey. I'm serious. I went up, I took a period of yesterday, and I took up to the bedroom. I don't know if you've ever done this. I'm going to let you into a little bit of my life. Because, you know, this late winter, early spring, I lost some weight. I put a few pounds back on. Now quit eyeballing my, I can still close my suit jacket. Never you mind. You just mind what's underneath your jacket. Put a few back on. I haven't been as disciplined lately. And yesterday, I don't know. It was just one of those moments where I grabbed the bag of licorice. Now, not regular licorice. Nothing wrong with Twizzlers. But I grabbed, have you had Australian licorice? Anybody have Australian licorice? Put your hand up. Oh, Bonnie, you're like, oh, no, no, Colin, I did. Oh, I did, Pastor. Australian licorice. I'm telling you, it tastes different, and it's, I don't know, good to the taste. And I grabbed honey-roasted peanuts. Now, not a little can, not a little bag. Oh, you like these. Oh, Phil, you like these. Yeah. A lot of confession going on this morning, you know. It's one of those, it's by Planters, and it's like one of those clear plastic, it's like a jug without a handle. Okay, that's the size of it. The lid on it, you know, barely fits in my hand where I can get my fingers over the edge and you can turn it. It's a fairly large, you know what I'm talking about, the Garmel? Yeah, okay. I grabbed those. And then I grabbed a bag. They are, is it Tostitos? And what flavor is that? It was really good. I didn't even need salsa. The Artisan brand. Okay. Hi, baby. Sorry, that's my granddaughter. I grabbed that. And I grabbed... Because I really don't drink soda anymore. But I grabbed a bottle of soda that I willfully bought and planned on drinking. It was cream soda. Oh. Now, nothing wrong with A&W cream soda, but this cream soda, I specifically stopped at Walgreens, and they have it in little glass jars. In fact, I forget the name of the brand. Some of you are going, I know what that is, but I ain't going to confess. I grabbed that, and I also grabbed a little bag of, you're thinking, gee, how much did this guy take up to his room? I also took a little bag of, do you know what orange slices are? Now, I'm not talking real oranges. So don't think, oh, well, that's not bad. That's fruit. This is not fruit. This was not orange slices only. It came like multi-flavored. And actually, I don't know if any of them taste any different. They're just different colors. They taste different? I don't know. It's hard to know if they taste different because I was... You know, eating honey roasted peanuts, chips, Australian licorice, and three, and some of these. And I was at the point. Have you ever done this? Have you ever eaten something and normally you wait till you're done chewing before you add more, right? You swallow? So understand, but I have a theory on this, David, that some of this stuff sticks in my teeth. But if you mix chips in with it, it kind of, you know, breaks up in there and, like, brushes them. And then, you know, you got a little particle here and there. You just take some cream soda. And it just, it was good. Although, I had this, my belly was so full. I don't know where this is going in the sermon, but it just happened to... We willfully do some things that we know aren't good for us. And it was one of my, you know, undisciplined moments. And, I knew it wasn't great for me. But, you know, it's so hard to sit at the counter and, you know, wash celery and cut it up. This stuff all came pre-made, ready to eat, you know. We do some things willfully wrong, and we come to a discovery that, you know, we can't live like that. And now I gave you the example of food, but there are some way more serious things that happen in our life that we choose to do, and we come to a discovery and say, you know, this is not how we want to live. And we want to repent. And repentance isn't just confessing I'm sorry. Okay, that's part of it. Do you know that, and I want you to hear this, because we put repentance in a Christian context, but repentance in its definition is coming to a place where we no longer like the direction we're headed. And so we turn around and we move a new direction. Okay? We move a new direction, a different direction. We begin to do things differently. It's interesting that Luke says, repent and turn where? To God. Turn to God. Turn to, say this, turn to God. Because we can come to a realization of how we're living, and we can turn and say, you know, I'm not going to do that anymore, and we turn a new direction. But where are we turning? Where are we turning? Now, in the Christian context, we just think when we repent, we automatically, the only other direction we can go is to God. And I'm glad that we think that, but understand, a repentance and a change, you know, there are people who do not have faith in God in the sense that they know His Son, Jesus Christ, and believe upon Him as their Savior and that He is the Son of God. They just come to a point and say, you know what, I'm not going to do this thing any longer. My grandfather had that. My grandpa Williamson, he came to a point and said, you know what? I'm done smoking. He came to a point and he said, I'm just done smoking. Had nothing to do with his faith in God or faith in Jesus Christ. Had nothing to do with it. He just simply said, I am sick of this habit for him. And he took him, threw him away, and that was it. Now, he turned another direction. But it wasn't like, oh, I'll turn to God. He just changed direction. And I like that Luke says, repent, turn from the way that you're going, and don't just become morally better because we think, hey, if I change what I'm doing and I turn a new direction and this seems to be morally good, we feel good about that. That's not wrong. But all of a sudden, we begin to think that, you know what? I'm doing better. I'm doing good. We can do better, or we can do different, or we can do good, but it doesn't mean that we've turned to God. We've just changed the direction that we're going. Luke says, repent, and when you take a new direction, turn to God. Don't just become morally better. See, there's a little trick with morality. We like morality because morality is good. And we think moral character is good. And that is true. It is right. It is good. I'm not telling you not to be moral. What I am saying that in our turn towards morality or a change in our life or doing what's better, the turn has to come towards God. Not just change directions. And Luke's writing that. He says, if you will repent, you will change your direction from the way that you were living. And when you turn towards God, then times of refreshing will come to you. So in our repentance, our asking of forgiveness, our turning away from the way we were doing life, when we turn, we have to turn towards God. Not just turn a new direction and kind of be morally better and think, well, that's what God wants. God wants us to, yes, repent, but He wants us to turn to Him. As we are Christians, there are things in our life that God continues to convict us of that He's as in process of cleaning us up, right? Becoming more like Him. When we feel a conviction over something, don't just think, I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to take a new direction. We still need to be turning towards God. Turning towards Him. Not just leaving the old junk behind, it is turning towards God. It's like verses that say, die to self and live unto Christ. Well, it's one thing to die to our personal preferences, to our tendencies. But it's not just one thing. The second part to that, the hinging part, is that we at some point live unto Christ. Not just die to ourself. Listen, there are people in the world who feel so strongly about a cause, whatever the cause is, that they're willing to die to self for the cause. It's not just dying to self. It's not just repenting. It is about turning to God. Is at some point we don't just die to self, we have to allow Christ to live in us so that we can be a living church. That has to happen in my life. Your life, our life, for times of refreshing to come. Luke wrote in Acts under the inspiration of the Spirit that if we repent and we turn to God, then, you know the if-thens? If this happens, then this will happen. If we do this, then this will happen. If my son gets good grades, then I will take him out of school a couple days to go hunting. That's not hypothetical. If, then. Repent, turn to God. If we do that, then. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. In other words, sins are wiped out, they're forgiven, they're gone. We are at peace with God. There's nothing that separates us from salvation. Of course, nothing separates us from His love. That times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Repent. When you turn to God. And then times of refreshing will come to Him. This word refreshing is a very interesting word because we can put it in the context of, you know, I was outside working early October when it was 80 degrees here in Wisconsin. And everyone said, hallelujah. Because a couple weeks ago, it looked like, you know, we weren't far from winter.
It's getting close.
Only on the calendar. Temperature's going to stay. Come on, agree with me. Okay. You You can think I was out there working and, you know, I got thirsty. Boy. Oh, I mean, just this, you know, the sweat's just pouring out of you. Of course, no, you're female. You were glistening excessively. And you're feeling a little sapped of strength. You think, I just need, oh, I need refreshing. And, you know, I just need a nice glass of sweet tea. For some of you, water. Don't drink soda pop. Repent. Okay. Something to refresh me. To, you know, kind of like, oh, that's good. And you feel a little strength come back to your body. That's not what the word refreshing means here. That's not what the word refreshing means here. We think it like, oh, be refreshed. Like it's hot, I'm sticky, and I went and took a shower, and I feel refreshed. That's not what the word refresh there means. Now, the way we interpret that word refresh here isn't really far off. The meaning is very similar, but I want you to know what the word refresh here means. It actually means, well, let me put it to you this way. If you have ever struggled with asthma or some allergic reaction where, you know, you can't get air, and you can't breathe, and strength begins to leave you. I don't know if you've ever had that. There was a time where I struggled with winter activity-induced asthma, which means in cold weather, if I were to go out in real cold weather and shovel snow, do you guys know what shoveling snow is? I'm looking at you young guys down here. Okay. Because, you know, I have people in my house that just think the Lord just blesses us and it never snows on our driveway. That's because I got up and moved it. And I would get to the point where, you know, I couldn't wear a heavy jacket out there. It'd be better for me to be cold because I got to open up my jacket, my sweater, my shirt. I mean, I remember times of going in and sitting down, and really the one of the best things that I felt for me at the time was to sit on the end of the bed and just lay back, my legs hanging. And I just had to, like concentrate on breathing. Don't ask me to do anything, because I can't do it. Everything is gone from, I couldn't breathe. I don't know if you've ever had things like that happen to you. I don't know if you had some water incident where you held your breath as long as you could and now you're going to start taking water in. And you're not getting the oxygen you need to breathe. I don't know if, you know, you lived in some southern jungle and some bow constrictor kind of jumped out and crawled him way up your body and began to squeeze you and constrict you that you could not expand your lungs, that every time you exhaled, you know, you get smaller, and then it tightens, and then you try to fill up with air, and you can't get air in because you can't inflate, so to speak. I don't know, maybe you lived in an area like that, or maybe one of your pets, your boa constrictor at home, got out, and you thought you'd snuggle with it at night. I just want you to know, snakes are not meant for pets. I'm going to go out on a limb here. Thus saith the Lord. Can't stand them. I hate them. I don't know if you've ever, but refreshing here talks about in this context, he said, times of refreshing will come to you. In other words, what he's saying in this scripture is that repent and turn to God so that your sins will be wiped out, because that's very important. We know that's why Christ died. We turn from our wicked ways and turn to God, turn to faith in his Son, so our sins are wiped out. And when that happens, then times of refreshing will come. And the word refreshing there really means recovery of breath. Have you ever tried to do something for a long time without breathing? I mean, as much as I was enjoying my snacks yesterday, I had to come up for air. Recovery of breath. You look back in Genesis 2, and it says that God made man from the dust of the earth. In other words, he created him. And it says, but no breath was in him. In other words, the form was there. He created him. And then it says that God breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and the man became a living being. What happens to you if you're without breath? What's going to happen to you? You're going to die. If we continue to live in our own ways, if we think, well, I can change directions and just kind of do good, but not turn to God, I want you to know that what this begins to do is it begins to constrict the life that God intended you to have. It stops us from breathing, and God says, if you will return to me, if you will turn to me, if you will repent and turn to me, then I will breathe on you and refresh you. You ever been in need of oxygen, and all of a sudden you, hey, I'm starting to feel pretty good. They put the old mask on you in the hospital, and you're breathing oxygen, and oh. There's some things that naturally are good for our body, and we put this in, you know, parallel so that we can understand it. You know, nitroxy is really good because it opens up. It gives an elasticity to your veins and your capillaries and your extremities. It opens them up so that blood flow can happen, so that oxygen gets to all of your tissue, your body, so that it feels strong. It feels like it has longevity. It feels like you can continue to function. That's one of the beautiful things. Now, if it's constricted, and blood flow doesn't get there, and oxygen doesn't get to your tissues die. They don't function. Right? Say right. Now, some of you who are in the medical field or you study medical stuff as a hobby online, I know that there's more to it than just that. I'm just giving you a little capsule here, a little nutshell version. And God says, if you repent and you turn to me, I'm going to refresh you. I'm going to breathe on you. I am going to refresh you. Or the word that goes along with it is revive. You only revive something that's threatening to die. And if we continue to walk in our own way, we are being constricted. Sometimes slowly, where we don't notice it. What's taking your breath from you? What's taking your breath away? Now, guys in the front row, I'm not talking about the girl who sits in your math class. I'm not talking about, you know, what takes your breath away, like, oh, you know, oh, wow, you know, who's she? You know, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what takes your breath away and it doesn't give it back. What has knocked the wind out of you? Do you remember having the wind knocked out of you? I remember that happening in sports. I remember that one time when I was a young grade school kid and I was climbing a tree. And we were climbing it and kind of hanging around, literally. And I remember being upside down on this branch, and I don't know what happened, but I lost my grip. And I fell flat on my back. And the breath goes out of you, and you, I mean, I was just a kid. I thought I was going to die. Because you're, I hate that feeling. Almost as much as I hate snakes. I hate that feeling. Because you can't talk. You know why? You have no breath. You're trying to tell your friends, you know, like, help me, like they're going to do anything. I mean, what are they're going to run for a bicycle pump? I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. You know, you and you're just all the air went out of you, and you're, and of course, you know, time seems to slow down, right? And it's like everything's in slow motion, and your eyes begin to cross. And you just know that you can't breathe, and you start to wonder, will breath ever come back to me? I'm so glad that I'm here to talk about it. It came back. And to show my gratitude, that's why I preach long. Let me ask you something. What's knocked the wind out of you? What is restricting you? That God would have to bring times of refreshing, times of His breath to refresh you, to revive you. What is it that has taken it out of you? Maybe it's just circumstances in life. Maybe it's hard times. Maybe it's sense of loss. Something's devastated you. Then I want you to know, then if that's you, you are a candidate for refreshing. If sin has restricted you, a lifestyle, a pattern that is inappropriate, a mindset or an attitude that has limited you, then we need to repent. And when we turn from that way and turn from that attitude, listen, by the way, did you know that you can turn from an attitude? Did you know that? Sometimes we think, well, this is my attitude and this is just the way that I am. And it's the way God made me and He knows me, and you know, it's just one of those things. That is Oscar Mayer, man. That is pure baloney. You look at the person next to you and say, did you know that you can turn from an attitude? Say, did you know that you can turn from an attitude? Tell somebody, did you know that you can turn from an attitude? You can turn from it. You don't have to take the bait. You don't have to keep repeating me. I was just saying the first part. You're so obedient. Listen, you can turn from that attitude. It may try to creep back, but you can turn from it. And what sets us free is when we turn the right direction, not just a different direction, but we turn to God. And our sin is wiped out. And now He brings a time of refreshing. He can bring His breath. He can bring the wind of God to blow into us, blow on us, get inside us. That's what a time of refreshing is. I don't know what's beat you up and sapped the life from you, or has taken the breath from you, or that you have shortness of breath, and I'm talking about it in your soul, in your spirit, in the way life is. But I want you to know that then you're a candidate for a time of refreshing. Now, this is right on the heels of Pentecost, in the power of Pentecost, and the pouring out of His Spirit, that He brought breath to the church. He brought breath. His breath, the wind of God, from the four winds, to bring breath, refreshing, reviving to the church. I mean, understand that those who were believers on Jesus Christ, he just left. They saw him crucified. They were down and out. Then they saw him appear to people. And there was a refreshing. And there was a faith that built. But he ascended. And he was gone. And they were glad he was resurrected. But now he's gone. He's still gone. And he said, I have to go so that I can send my spirit. And the day of Pentecost came. And now times of refreshing can continue to come from the Lord. That his spirit, his breath of life. You know, God's for you. He's not against you. You know the scripture verse. You hear me say it. You hear other people say it. God's for you. He's not against you. This isn't about, well, you know, you just got to go through all beat up. Listen, we're going to take some beatings. No question. But do you know that though the outward things can happen to us, inwardly we can be totally living a life that is revived, refreshed, continually. I need refreshing. I need you to put breath back in me. Listen, I have things come into my life that happen to me or around me or things that affect me that, you know what? It takes my breath out. It's like it takes the oxygen away from me. And then I begin not to function at the top of my game, so to speak. But when he breathes on me and refreshes me and gives me breath, and I feel strong again. I feel strong. I feel like prime inside. My body is not looking real prime or always functions as prime. But in here, I feel prime. It's true. Dan, you know what I'm talking about. You feel it. You know it. That only comes from the Lord. So we can talk about, you know, who owns us. We can talk about that. We can talk about, well, what's it going to take from God for me to be moved? I know that those of you in this room who are Christians and take your faith seriously, you don't want sin to separate you from God. So you're willing to repent. You're willing to turn. But we have to turn to him, not just change some conduct and become more moral. It's about turning to God so that times of refreshing can come. You want to talk about a great testimony to this world? Is when they begin to look at a person who is refreshed. You are a breath of what? A breath of fresh air. A breath of fresh air. We use terms like that all the time. A breath of fresh air. Pure air. It's like you are oxygen that came into this room. And I've been sitting in a room breathing, you know, just smoke begins to affect me, begins to restrict me. And you came along. What a testimony to be around a person who's refreshed. What a testimony to those who don't know the Lord to be around you and you're refreshed by the Lord. It's not just about me. Hey, I want to feel good. I want to be refreshed. I want to be at peace with God. It's all for a purpose. Yes, to know him, to see him active in our life, for us to know times of refreshing, which is the fruit of I repented and turned to God and my sins are wiped out. Now times of refreshing come to me, but also with the purpose and understanding that it's supposed to be a testimony of people, for people who don't have breath. It doesn't mean that you have to be squirrely. You're just refreshed. They look at what's going on in your life and you can still be refreshed? You mean this has gone on in your life and you still have hope? Well, where's that coming from? Well, don't look surprised. It's from the Lord. Don't raise your hand and don't say yes, but how many of you in this room, I mean, you'd like to be refreshed? There's just things that go on in life. And not all of them are drastic and dramatic and terrible, but you know what? It's just daily life, weekly life, and you know what? You're just sapped. You get tired, not just physically, but mentally, emotionally. You don't have the resource to draw in, to draw on. You need to be refreshed. What has gone on in your life that keeps taking the breath out of you, knocks the wind out of you? What is it that you practice or you do or you compromise that you know isn't right? You know, the reality is you're hurting yourself. You are partnering with something that takes the breath out of you. So repent and turn to the Lord. Let Him breathe on you. I don't know what you got going on Wednesday night. But this Wednesday, midweek, here in the sanctuary, we're going to have a time of worship. It's our regular midweek service. But I'm not going to teach this week. I'm just letting you know right now. Last Wednesday, J.W. Jarvey, Jalmer, one of our buddies over here, one of our deacons, co-leads with his wife, Celebrate Recovery on Monday nights. He took and talked about prayer and what it has meant to him and some things that he has picked up. He talked about a time in his life and what he saw happen in prayer in a church that he attended and who experienced a time of refreshing, a time of reviving. Well, I want you to know that his wife, Marlene, who works in our office, was, I don't know how else to, this is not just a commercial. She was dramatically changed by a time of refreshing and reviving. Wednesday night, I just said, you know what? This would be a great follow-up to Jalmer. I said, Wednesday night, I'm going to be there, but I want you to share what changed in you. When you experienced refreshing and reviving from the Lord, what changed in you? What changed in your life? What in your mind, you know, turned? How did you live different? What did you experience? How did the Lord do it? Not that it's going to be the same for everybody, but I want you to tell people and testify what refreshing and reviving did for you. And so Wednesday night, she's going to do that in here. We're going to start at 7 o'clock. And after worship, just going to turn it over to her and let her tell her story. Does this mean everything's perfect in her life? No. But I'll tell you what, when she repented and turned to God and her sins were wiped out and refreshing came, she's a different lady. She is. She's a different lady than she was. I knew her a little bit before that happened. And her husband, as she went through that, her husband had this terrifying thing go on in him. Oh my. This woman I love has been changed. And I better get on the stick so I can keep up with her. That's not a bad thing. When I said terrifying, it was just this alarming realization. And they have continued to pursue the Lord. This is not building up people or saying that they're the epitome. I'm just telling you, their life has been changed dramatically because of repentance and turning to God, sins being wiped out, and refreshing came. And here's the thing. Prior to that, Marlene thought she was okay. Am I fair, Marlene? I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. She thought she was okay. It's all right. And then discovered, uh-oh, wow. There's more to God than I thought. I want you to say this with me. There is more to God than I think right now in my life. You think this is it? You think this is the pinnacle of His presence and outpouring and refreshing? You think this is the epitome? You think the best days of God are behind us? We need to be refreshed. It is why I have shared this with you, that my prayer request to the Lord is that He would bring a season, an opportunity to us to be refreshed, revived, that we could taste of it. We could have the opportunity to see it, experience it, and then come to a point of decision and saying, I don't accept it, or yes, I'm in. It's still my prayer. Listen. I understand. This is a good church. This is a moral church. You are spiritual people. But I'm telling you that there is more to God. There is more to the move of His Spirit. There is more to refreshing and more to revival and more to spiritual awakening than you and I are tasting of as of right now in our life. I believe that. That is the truth. And that is why messages in recent days is, what's it going to take for you to be moved by God? What's it going to take? Who owns you? What owns you? And then to come this week and talk to you about God wants to bring times of refreshing. Yes, it can make you happy. And yes, it can. You can experience different things, even physical things happening in your body. But it's about His breath bringing refreshing to us. We think we're breathing okay in our spirit. And I'm telling you that there is a greater breath, an easier breath, a fuller breath that will go to the extremities of your life. That you will begin to function above and beyond what you ever thought you could function as a person because of God. He brings the times of refreshing. Our responsibility is to repent and turn to God. And turn to Him, and to seek Him, and to look for Him. Allow Him to be the owner of us. Because if we think we are the owner of us, the chances are, if something else owns us, we're deceived and we think we have ownership of us. And it's the other stuff, the other things that own us. If you weren't here the last 2 weeks, you can listen to those messages online on our podcast at our website. Thanks to Josh Meyer that he does that for us. I'll tell you thanks, Josh. But what has taken your breath away? What has slowly restricted you? And you think this is normal and you think it's good enough. And we fall into that pattern. I am telling you that there is a time of refreshing and reviving that must come to us.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.